Illuminati reboot. Let me explain to you what that means. We have the technocrats, the tech giants, and of course, the New World Order set to basically reshape, reconfigure the moral compass of society. They've already begun it. We know this. This is not new news. But what is new news is, of course, how they're going to do it. They're going to be shaping, or even coding would be a better word to use, the artificial intelligence of the future. Very soon, artificial intelligence will outnumber humans and outsmart us. And the likes of Google and Facebook are going to direct its moral compass. Tech giants, technocrats, and the Illuminati are all set to redirect society's moral compass, citing artificial intelligence as the means for ethics 2.0. If artificial intelligence is such a good thing, then why in the world is it causing such a moral dilemma? Furthermore, would you entrust the likes of tech giants such as Facebook and Google with the task of defining society's morals? Should your driverless car value your life over a pedestrian's? Should your Fitbit activity be used against you in a court case? Should we allow drones to become the new paparazzi? These are samples of the thousands of questions regarding morals and AI. With humans, something special took place long ago. The moral law, or code, was inscribed in our hearts and in our minds. It is because of tech giants, many other companies and figures, that society's own moral law is being unwound currently. Now, we are supposed to sit back and let those same corporations and individuals define the morals of the technology of the future. Experts claim that artificial intelligence and robotics will outnumber and outbrain humans within 30 years, but odds are it will be much sooner than that. In 2016, a team of researchers and scientists from Carnegie Mellon University created a new center for studying the ethics of artificial intelligence, and under Obama, the White House published a paper on the same topic. Amidst those, tech giants such as Google and Facebook set up a partnership to draw up an ethical framework for AI. But as the world saw under Obama, Google, and Facebook, America lost its moral compass. So what can we expect to be the product from these organizations? What exactly, or what moral compass is this thing going to have? Folks, we're talking about the worst police state ever. The worst martial law ever, dictated and directed by an artificial intelligence, which of course has been strategically designed by Google and Facebook and of course other tech giants and the elite. They lay it out for us right here. Other tech and science gurus such as Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking signed an open letter calling for efforts to ensure AI is beneficial to society. And of course, we should. Are we supposed to thank these guys? Just hang on. The potential benefits are enormous. Since everything that civilization has to offer is a product of human intelligence, we cannot predict what we might achieve when this intelligence is magnified by the tools AI may provide. But the eradication of disease and poverty are not unfathomable. Because of the great potential of AI, it is important to research how to reap its benefits while avoiding potential pitfalls. These may be big names, but their motives are surely not about supporting the little guy. Otherwise, why would they support the very technology that will totally erase the workforce, and in the process escalate poverty to levels that would make the Great Depression look like a field day? Entering the machine age. According to Professor Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum, this phase will be built around cyber-physical streams, or excuse me, systems, which entails the blurring of the physical and digital and biological. Schwab also states that we need to embrace this machine age. We will need to be confronted by the new ethical challenges calling for new laws. In some cases, the entire moral code may need to be rebooted. Excuse me? Such is the nature of technological breakthroughs. We believe that humanity will soon be on the cusp of rethinking morals and ethics 2.0. Rebooted? Sorry, but my Bible says that we don't need to reboot or remake the moral code. Instead, it says we need to return to it. The Bible predicted these days, and it predicted these very events. These are the days of lawlessness. These are the days of increasing knowledge and the return of the days of Noah. The World Economic Forum is, in part, driving the technological change, as you can see below in the trailer for the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Now, you need to see this. You need to see this. This is incredible. What they're trying to get through. As we have discussed many times prior, the fourth will be the last industrial revolution because of one simple reason. Mankind will be mankind no more. The technocrats seek to eradicate Christians from the face of the earth entirely. But that is not what the Bible says will happen. And judging by the Bible's profound accuracy, I suggest we keep rereading the end of the book. So if you feel like it, and you want to post a comment, and you have something to say, and of course, I like your guys' opinions. I do read the comments quite often. Don't post it on YouTube. Don't post it on Facebook. Come and quickly make a little free account. You click two buttons and you have an account, and that way you can get notified via email. And you can post whatever you want. I have two rules. Don't bash and comment often. Pope cuts sanctions to some pedophile priests. Excuse me? Why in the world is he cutting sanctions to pedophile priests? This is apparently by the Associated Press. Pope Francis has quietly reduced sanctions against a handful of pedophile priests, applying his vision of a merciful church even to its worst offenders, in ways that survivors of abuse and the Pope's own advisors question. One case has come back to haunt him. An Italian priest who received the Pope's clemency was later convicted by an Italian criminal court for his sex crimes against children as young as 12. And he just lifts sanctions. The Reverend Mauro Inzoli is now facing a second church trial after new evidence emerged against him, the Associated Press has learned. The Inzoli case is one of several in which Francis overruled the advice of the Vatican's congregation for the doctrine of the faith and reduced a sentence that called for the priest to be defrocked. Two canon lawyers and a church official told AP, instead, the priests were sentenced to penalties including a lifetime of penance and prayer and removal from public ministry. In some cases, the priests or their high-ranking friends appealed to Francis for clemency by citing the Pope's own words about mercy in their petitions. The church official said, speaking on condition of anonymity because the proceedings are confidential, with all this emphasis on mercy, he is creating the environment for such initiatives, the church official said. Vatican spokesman Greg Burke said staffing in the office of the discipline section that handles sex abuse cases, which has years-long backlog of cases, would be strengthened after Francis recently approved hiring more officials. He has also dispelled rumors that sex abuse cases would no longer be handled by the congregation, saying the strengthened office would handle all cases submitted. Burke said Francis' emphasis on mercy applied to even those who are guilty of heinous crimes. He said priests who abuse are permanently removed from ministry, but are not necessarily dismissed from the clerical state, the church term for defrocking. What in the world? Yet more from Pope Francis. Human rights activist threatens Le Pen. I'm going to slit your throat, Muslim style. This is from a human rights activist. Wow. Blogger, the slit your throat blogger who threatened to kill Marine Le Pen is under fire. An acclaimed French blogger has come under heavy criticism after thousands of racist, homophobic, and hate-filled tweets he published years ago under a pseudonym resurfaced at the end of last week, triggering a storm of outrage. For years, Mehdi Miklat, a 24-year-old human rights activist and former Bondi blog journalist, who until last week was hailed as one of France's rising media stars, published sickening tweets under the pseudonym Marcelin Deschamps. A provocative but fictional character who, according to the young writer, does not reflect his personal beliefs, values, and morals. On Twitter, Mr. Miklat, writing as Deschamps, threatened to kill Marine Le Pen. But this is a human rights activist. This is who is considered a human rights activist, threatening to kill people because they can't stand them. You know what that sounds like? Sounds like ISIS. ISIS cannibals, terror group are teaching their fighters to eat non-Muslims. Did you hear that correctly? Handbook found in an Islamic State training school was found by a think tank. It revealed a horrifying new stance taken by jihadis, which promotes cannibalism. Islamic State terrorists are teaching their fighters to eat non-Muslims, it has emerged. A handbook found in the terror group's training school has been found by a British counter-extremism think tank, revealing the horrifying new stance of the jihadis. ISIS chiefs even give advice on what parts of the body to eat and how to prepare them, and comes after a sickening report a mother was fed the remains of her own son. This is on the Daily Mail. Of her own son when she was told by the terrorists it was meat and rice. This is beyond disgusting. What in the world is going on? The days of lawlessness. Trump administration cancels back-channel talks with North Korea. After approving plans on Friday for informal talks in New York between a North Korean delegation and former American officials, the Trump administration reversed course hours later, withdrawing approval for the North Koreans' visas. Two people who were to take part in the planned talks said, "The schedule called for the two sides to meet in early March, and arrangements were underway for the six-member North Korean group led by Ko Sun-hoo, who runs the American Affairs Bureau of the North's Foreign Ministry, to travel to New York. The organizer of the talks, the National Committee on American Foreign Policy, led by Donald S. Zagoria, was told by the State Department on Friday morning that the visas would be granted. But the decision was reversed in the afternoon when someone overruled State, said one person who planned to participate in the talks. Both of the people on the participants list spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the delicacy of the matter. The reversal came as the Malaysian government announced that VX Nerve Agent, a chemical on a United Nations list of weapons of mass destruction, was used to kill the estranged half-brother of the leader of North Korea at the Kuala Lumpur International Airport on February 13th. South Korea has accused North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un of ordering the killing of his half-brother, Kim Jong-nam. That's ruthless. Radical leftists are warning that the Trump years will be apocalyptic, and they may just be right. Is the United States about to plunge into an apocalyptic nightmare from which it may never recover? During the Obama era, conservatives often warned of such scenarios, but now things have completely shifted. At the moment, conservatives are generally more optimistic than they have been in many years, but quite a few liberals are warning that the Trump years could have absolutely disastrous consequences for this country. They are concerned that Trump's policies could burst the giant debt bubble that we have been living in and trigger an economic collapse. They are concerned that widespread civil unrest could soon erupt in our cities. They are concerned that our rapidly deteriorating environment and major natural disasters could soon kill millions. And they are also concerned that faltering relationships with other nations could lead us into World War III. Of course, leftists are generally wrong about just everything, but in this case, they might actually be correct. We've known for a long time that the dollar is going to collapse soon. The question's always been when. How long are they going to keep this facade up? The truth is that our world is becoming increasingly unstable with each passing week. And this time around, it is conservatives that are guilty of reckless optimism. That might be some of you. It's time to start paying attention and waking up. Just because Donald Trump has been selected, does not mean that everything around us is going to be transformed into some sort of utopia. Anyone that is guilty of this kind of thinking is simply delusional. And I'm sorry to tell you the honest truth, but Snyder's got it correct here. This is an article by Michael Snyder. So as much as it pains me to say it, these days it is often liberals that have a more accurate assessment of what the times immediately ahead of us are going to be like. And while many conservatives have totally given up on preparing for the difficult times ahead, Many liberals have suddenly become extraordinarily interested in emergency food, water, filters, and guns. Liberals and guns. That's funny. They're extremely concerned about what America is going to look like in a few years, and the mainstream media is starting to do stories about their rising anxiety. The following is an excerpt from a Christian Science Monitor article entitled, "In an Age of Trump, Apocalyptic Rhetoric Becomes Mainstream." The longer President Trump is in office, the more Kat Deakins worries about the future, for herself and her children. With every executive order and cabinet appointment, she envisions another scenario, as an America that rejects immigrants, that succumbs to climate change, and that erupts in war. It's scary to me that people within the administration are promoting this idea of we are at war with Islam. That's the kind of thinking that leads to World War III, says Ms. Deakins, a cinematographer in Los Angeles. I don't think we can be alarmed enough. Now, we're holding opinions. I'm holding opinions, okay? So just hold on. Too many conservatives, that may sound like nonsense. But the truth is that we are on a road that could potentially lead us to World War III. Anti-Russian hysteria has reached a fever pitch in Washington, and our relationship with China is the worst that it has been in decades. Of course, the Middle East continues to be a tinderbox, and one false move could cause a major war to erupt in the region. I've been saying similar things. It's called a multipolar world order, but a lot of people don't want to listen. Too many people have fallen into the quote-unquote utopia that's been mysteriously constructed almost overnight. Well, it's time to wake up, folks. It's not time to be afraid. It's time to wake up and be prepared. Do you really think that the powers that be are just going to let some guy waltz in and destroy all their plans? Absolutely not, because they could crash the economy in a millisecond. I don't know. They're pretty old, and when they go to push a button, it might take longer than a second. You get my point. Too many conservatives, a huge earthquake measuring 6.9 magnitude struck off the coast of New Britain, island in Papua New Guinea. This morning, the U.S. Geological Survey, USGS, said, I hope you know I was using a hypothetical, just a little bit of imagery that was never meant to be an actual real depiction. You get my point. The quake was so powerful that it was felt as far away as the capital of Port Moresby, 750 kilometers or 460 miles away on the country's south coast. Papua New Guinea is on the Pacific Ring of Fire, which has frequent earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, and our environment continues to deteriorate all around us as well. According to one recent study, half of the species on our entire planet could be facing extinction by the end of the century unless something is done, One in five species on Earth now faces extinction, and that will rise to 50% by the end of the century unless urgent action is taken. Now, of course, they're referring to climate change. I would refer to, this radiation thing that's kind of going on over here at Fukushima. And, of course, the geoengineering that's still going on all around us before we even thought about climate change. But, of course, we know the agenda for climate change. We know what it's actually about. But of more immediate concern is our very serious economic problems. For much more on this, please see the article that I published on Sunday entitled Retail Apocalypse Gains Momentum. I believe we read that. I'm not sure when or whenever it was. Retail Apocalypse, we've done a lot on this. If you guys recall, just the other day, a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, the largest Christian bookstore in the nation, is closing its doors. There's others. JCPenney's closing a lot of stores. Sears and so on and so forth. There's many stores that are closing. But wait a minute. Trump was supposed to stop all that. Democrats are plotting protests for Trump's speech to Congress with illegal immigrants. I want to say something real quick. You see, this extreme left is awakening this right wing. You see, this division is causing a potential catastrophe or a situation that could take place between the two. In other words, a civil war of sorts. It's got to stop. But in the midst of all this going on, the true nature of who's behind it is being exposed. Lana Del Rey is using witchcraft to rid the world of Donald Trump. What? Following in the footsteps of Lady Gaga, Lana Del Rey is attempting to use witchcraft to remove Donald Trump from presidency. At the stroke of midnight, the famed singer tweeted February 24th, March 26th, April 24th, May 23rd. Ingredients can be found online. Do you see what is going on here? We're witnessing the induction of a lot of people into witchcraft, and they don't even know what they're doing or the ramifications of what they will do. It's time to get to work. I feel like a lot of us know the reality. The prayer warriors have been on overdrive for many years now. Keep going, guys. God bless you. We're right there with you. Observers noted these dates line up with the waning crescent moon ritual dates, dates that recently made headlines as members of the occult claimed they would perform ceremonies to rid the world of Donald Trump each time the event occurs. We are actually seeing occultists occultists come out of the darkness to perform their rituals to try and get the masses involved in these rituals. This is going to end very badly. A representative for Del Rey confirmed to Pitchfork that the singer-songwriter's tweets was in reference to the occult rituals. You know all those videos that are all over YouTube about how these artists are using witchcraft, or these artists are involved in secret societies, and you got MTV and all these other companies and organizations who call it a hoax or BS or whatever. They're doing it in the open. They admit that they are. This is just more evidence of it. So the next time somebody says, oh yeah, of course, the stars got rich and famous because they did something or they're in the occult or whatever, here's your proof. Lana Del Rey is a witch using occult rituals. Well, it's no wonder we found it in her music. Same goes for Beyonce and others. They just don't exactly admit it. But yes, they do. Let's be real. The necessary ingredients have previously been revealed to an unflattering photograph of Donald Trump, a bowl of water. I'm not going to read anymore. This is just ridiculous. According to those participating in the ritual, they will not cease until Trump is finally out of power. They're performing witchcraft to rid the world of Donald Trump. They don't know what's going to bite them in their own ass. Excuse my language, but it needs to be said. Secret WikiLeaks invitation places John Podesta, David Brock, and James Alefantis together at the Rothschild home, Pizzagate. This was sent to me, and I got to tell you, it's pretty convincing. It goes as deep as the Rothschilds, folks. There was a reason behind the hush-hush behind it all. But you got to love, we got to love the citizens who just kept investigating. Because there's so much to it, and it's so big. And you just got to wonder. Is what Donald Trump is doing, of course, with the human trafficking agenda, how he's saying we're going to have to go after this really hard. Is there a subliminal message in that? That we might actually see some people get arrested for Pizzagate? Now, we'll read the evidence here in just a second. I'll pull it up in just a second. This is the email. And it was on WikiLeaks, of course. I really appreciate the call earlier and all of your advice. Attached, please find an invite to both book parties in New York next week and Sarah Jacobs' resume. Whatever you could do to help would be greatly appreciated. See you next week. And there's the invitation. This is one of the invitations here. And, of course, this it was sent. Let me show you the actual email. This was sent from Mary Pat Bonner to John Podesta, which includes both of the attachments, as he was saying, or as this person was saying, I don't know if it's a he or she, in the forum post. One of them has the Lynn Forrester de Rothschild address of where this book signing is going to be. A reception, excuse me. Reception and book signing. This puts them all in the same room, potentially. This is pretty good. Downloading the attachment will reveal a reception at Tijuana Picnic, an upscale Mexican bar in the Upper East Side. But download the source code of the email. You will now notice that there are two invitations. The second one being at the home of Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. The invitation is not actually available in the email, meaning that it can't be seen by public eyes, and was likely meant to be hidden from Podesta's staffers. It really puts Lynn Forrester de Rothschild's recent tweet in a new light. I don't exactly know what she tweeted. Alifantis was actually in the New York City area at around the same time, at a gay art retreat on Fire Island, known as Fire Island Pines. Let me show you that image real quick. This is Jimmy Comet, Fire Island Pines. 75 weeks ago, I don't know exactly when that was. But anyways, let me go back to this. While it doesn't prove Alifantis was there, it would make sense that he would at least show support for his boyfriend as he releases his new book. But it gets weirder. Tijuana Picnic has hosted parties with familiar faces mentioned in the pizza investigation, including Wallace, Dan Niedek, who hosted the first reception, is on the board of directors of the Child Mind Institute and MOMA. You can connect the dots if you like. Also pictured is Lucali pizza owner Mark Iacono, whose pizza place became extra popular after Jay-Z called it his favorite in Brooklyn. Now this is rather interesting, because we see the connections between pizza parlors, not pizza parlors, but pizza places, and some very powerful individuals, and of course, Pizzagate. I want to know what you guys think about this. This is very, very interesting, because it places them potentially all in the same room. And that room happens to be at the house of one of the Rothschilds. Boy, that says a lot. Let me know what you think.